What's happening, everybody? Welcome to the Grown Man-ish podcast with Mike J and I have with me.
This is Bowtie Fresh. What's up, y'all?
Man, chilling, man.
Back in the lab.
Hey, man, back in the lab, man, trying to produce this stuff. Yo, to all our creators and all that type of stuff, this stuff is a lot harder than what it is. If you, when I always thought it's always something, but we are back again on a Tuesday night in the NAP, man. So what's been going on with
that
you, bro?
That town is in the building.
Hey, man, I had to
Not a whole lot, my guy.
Hey, man, I had to bring it back the other day, man. Some of our, people who follow us on Instagram, man. I had to throw on that the last Mr. Big, man, last week, man. I got inspired, man. You know, he was talking about those since 1986. Talking about those
like ribs. Hey, man, he said y'all was out there selling them dimes. He was out there selling them cookies.
Yeah, man. He was out here wilding, bro. Let me ask you a question, man. So, you know, the Powerball Mega Millions is at $1.6 billion, bro. What would be the first frivolous? Now, of course, I know you handle your bills and all that type of stuff, kick out the family, but when it came down to it, man, what would your first frivolous item be?
Man, that's a tough one, bro. I mean, lottery fever is definitely at full effect. Let's see, first frivolous item that I would buy, man. I couldn't even tell you, bro. I couldn't even think. It would probably be something random. Like, I'd probably get like a F-250 that's like lifted with the nice tires and all that type of stuff. Like, I'd probably do something like that. Just some random frivolous spend. Probably be something like that.
Oh, man, I'd deck myself out in a full white mink. Full white. because I figure like buying houses and cars is not really frivolous. Now, the amount of cars you might buy might be frivolous, but it was like, yo, after I get everything else and take care of all my other responsibilities, especially it's going to be wintertime too. Oh, man, I'm going to have that mink laid, dog, laid on out.
And yeah, 2.6 or 1.6 or 2. Whatever. It's $1 billion, so you're gonna have a lot of residual money in anyway. So I mean, it's gonna be one of the things I might have to do. We have some folks chopping up with us on Twitter this afternoon, and somebody said that everybody needs their own Jerome. So maybe that'd be a frivolous buy for me. Like I just like have somebody for like a month to be my Jerome to Moore's Day. Like somebody be Bowtie Fresh's Jerome. Hey, maybe I'd do something crazy like that, just something silly like that, just to have a frivolous spend. I don't know. I'm not one of those people where that's not my personality. So it's like, it's difficult for me to just go out and find something random. Maybe I'll take I fill up a bathtub full of nickels and just sit inside of like $1 million in nickels.
I'll tell you what I would do, man. I would pay because, you know, both of us are college graduates, so I know I would pay my student loans off of Sally Mae. I would send them all in pennies.
All in pennies.
I mean, I'd have them roll. Yeah. I mean, I'd get somebody to roll them. But I mean, it would be trucks and trucks full of pennies to Sally Mae, because that's how, penny for my thought, a penny for this thought, I would send them all pennies and rusted pennies.
Yeah.
Nothing new.
Them and ambient. Yeah. Them pennies are like something that spilled on and they sticky and you just, gotta send that in.
I definitely.
That'd probably be one of the first things I'd do, just to get rid of those bastards. Get rid of the student loans, man. That'd be one of the first things that I'd do.
Yeah, bro. So that would be one of the things, man. All pennies.
Hey man, let me ask you this, man. $1.6 billion or $2.6 billion, whatever it is, man. That's a whole hell of a lot of money. Now, granted, you gonna probably get 60% of that. That's still a whole hell of a lot of money. You, Mike J, one of the realest cats that, my best friend, one of the realest cats that I've known for I don't know how long. How would that change you, bro? Would that change you? I know it will change your financial status.
I'll still keep the same friends, but I would be more paranoid about my family and friends. Like, mm-hmm. I am one of those people that try to keep it really laid back. And people who like know me, I'm like a laid back. Like, I don't really, my temperament is pretty much the same all the time. Sometimes it has more snark than others, but I definitely would have, you know, bodyguards. You know, I've always, when I was a kid, man, I used to stay with my grandma, you know, a lot. My mom, my parents were working. And, man, they always would watch The Young and the Restless, man. Even I got to an older kid, both of our grandmas would be watching The Young and the Restless at church when they was helping out the people who were less needy. And I always wanted to be like the black Victor Newman. I feel like with $1 billion, I'm going to be on some Victor Newman type stuff. So that means me having investigators, putting hands on boys if need be, carrying that thing on me at all times, at all times. Shout out to Marvin Harrison, the Belgian weapon.
Hey, man, hands like a ninja.
Hey.
But like, hey, man, Victor Newman was known around House of Boy, man. He was like, you know, well versed in the street karate. I don't think it was official, but I think it was very much of an urbanized type of fighting style.
Y'all, when I seen a boy pick somebody up over his head like the Ultimate Warrior, dog, and throw a boy on the ground, I knew this was a different type of white man. This was like a white man, like a Ric Flair with a British accent. Shout out to Eric Braden, one of the realest in the game.
Yeah, man.
But back to your question.
Hey, Victor Newman was also, like 152 pounds, too.
Oh, no, dog. Victor started taking the HGH, dog. Victor wasn't to be trifled with.
Damn.
Hey, man, you ever seen Victor, dog? When they used to go to, I used to watch the hell out of Young and the Restless. Hey, that would be one of my, if I got $1 billion, you going to see me as a recurring character. I'm going to be like some black dude named Philippe. But, you know, hey, man.
No.
Hey, I'm going to be out there acting.
You out there looking like David Boston? You gonna have
a bruh. Bro like me. I'm like, man, I ain't gonna lie. You know, first I was like, man, I probably wouldn't change. Damn right I'm gonna change. I mean, you know, I'm 36 now. Hairline ain't as crisp as it used to be. Oh dog, I'm cheating, bro. hair is yo. I might have a Michael Caine's curl by the time lottery fever wins with me.
Damn. But, you're gonna be real flagrant and go out and get the daggone pec implants and the calf implants and gonna have a sculpted body? Like are you getting this ill?
I'm not Drake. I ain't doing all that. Like it's a boy like me, man. But honestly, I'd be just paranoid about who wants to be around me, but I still wanna do this show and just be, you know, I would just build a studio. But I still be the same type of cat. I just would be paranoid who wants to be around me, man. You know, but what about you?
Yeah, man, I don't think that I pretty much along the same. Like, I don't think that it would change me as a person. Like, I think that I'm too much of who I am currently. Of course, it's going to change your financial status, your economic status, that sort of thing. Of course, it's going to change, you know, some of those that are close to you, loved ones around you, and that sort of thing. But as far as me as a person, y'all see it every day, you know, as much as possible on our social media. Y'all hear me talk about it. I'm a person who, you know, cares about my community, very philanthropic, attend a lot of different events in the community, try to do a lot of stuff in the community. So there would definitely be a big piece of me that I would be able to provide more and do more in my community. And I would still be doing that just the same as I do today, just with a little bit more cash on hand to try to better some things. So I don't think it would change me as an individual, but yes, it would definitely change like my economic status and that sort of thing. I think that I would be, like you said, a little bit more paranoid with regards to my kids, my parents, and that sort of thing. But I think I would too. It would be one of those things, kind of like I'm in the NBA. You know, you give these guys, they're 20 years old, and you're giving them millions of dollars. I would definitely have that sticker shock, like, oh shit, like what do I do now? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that I would probably definitely not only hire, of course, a financial advisor or whatever, but I would have some sort of mental health clinician that I would be able to talk to and try to help navigate some of these things, because that's severely life altering. You know what I mean? So I would want to make sure that I can handle it. You know.
Yeah, I definitely had my pastor and like a group of people I feel like that would keep it real with me. Our same friends, same, you know, different number. I ain't gonna lie. You know what I'm saying? But my people who had my number now, who I wanted to have, you know, but after that, boy, you caught that, hit that other number, like, was out of service. But
no doubt, man. And like I said, like you said, I would still have, like my core friends is small. And, you know, shout out to all those, you know, They know who they are, you know, Ray Day, Mike, Jack, Big C, Clarence, you know, Rick, Rob, you know, all the cats that are in my circle, you know, DJ, everybody that's in my circle would still be in my circle. And of course, if I got 1.6 billion, even Mike J know this. If I got it, my boys got it. So we all ride clean. I might be ill and buy everybody Cadillacs like Denzel did in what's the movie? Oh man, I can't think of the daggone movie.
American Gangster.
American Gangster. Yeah. I'm buying everybody Cadillacs.
I would just ask, man, can somebody dig up the corpse of Mark Morrison and get him over to the States? Because, you know, for those who know me, man, they know I love Return of the Mac. That's like my favorite song ever. Bring in Mark Morrison, bro. But he has to have the box and the two hoop earrings and the leather trench and that daggone black turtleneck, bro. I mean, I would do a whole bunch of ill stuff. Like, you know, I'm investing in West Coast Productions. I might. Hey man, do you know how much the dog? No.
Yeah, they make a lot of money. Man, they make a lot of money.
They said that game makes more than sports and everything else put together. You might not like sports, but you might, you know, folks want to get their freak on. I'm about this money. You know, I'm about trying to invest. You know, like Pimp C say, pimping off the app.
Mike Jaden changed the name from Booty Talk to Booty Chat.
Hey, I know, right? Hey, you know, look, now I'm just gonna buy them all out, man. You know what I'm saying? Yo, shout out to Lex too, man. You know, we have to keep Lex on the team for one more year. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Lex. But hey man, so let's jump.
Hey man, it's definitely a life changer, man. Yeah. But I know we're gonna jump into the Trump news. But I got one serious note that I want to give. You know, big shout out, definitely shout out. She's a very strong woman. My stepmom, she had her first round or bout or doses of chemotherapy today, and I definitely want to give a shout out to her. Let her know that. She is definitely loved in abundance. Shout out to my pops, my brother, my sister. We really holding it down for her and really uplifting her right now in prayer and spirit and trying to keep her spirits high. And you know, I just want to give a shout out to her to let her know that she's in everybody and everybody in the family. And when I say family, that's the podcast family. All of my crew that's associated with me that's real close. They've been nothing but you know, well wishes and prayer. So I want her to know that, and I know she listens faithfully every podcast, and want her to know that she's definitely loved, much love to her, love her to death, and that this will be just another bout. You know, that we're gonna knock some boys out. We're gonna overcome this and get on through this. So. Definitely shout out to my stepmoms and making things happen.
Yeah, no doubt, man. I second that. I saw it on Instagram, man, but I wasn't going to bring it up until you brought it up, obviously, because that's your family, man. But she knows,
right.
You know, I got love for her. She's in my prayers, man. But, you know, definitely, man, you know, F cancer. Well, you know, fuck cancer.
Let's that's right.
It was fuck cancer.
Fuck man. Cancer.
Broadway 100, man. Cancer touched, you know, in my personal life, too. I'm not going to get into it fully, but, you know,
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
God is a healer, you know, so it touched a part of my family members, but, you know, that cancer has been removed, so God is definitely a healer, you know, so not to get super serious with y'all, but, you know, that's where, you know, we base this show on all these things of being a grown man-ish, and faith is a big part. Yep. You know, we joke around.
Huge part.
You know, we could talk about all this other stuff. Right now, we're getting ready to jump into kangaroo meat, but, you know, it's just like, you know, like faith is like the biggest thing, man, so... So let's kind of jump into that, bro. So I was talking before we started recording the show. Well, actually, let's kind of jump before that. I know earlier we were having a conversation in our group chat about one of the bros. Was, you know, he's talking about he went to school with his daughter's birthday today. Is that correct? Did I catch all that?
Yes, sir. His daughter's birthday.
All right. So he went to school and said the food was disgusting, right? So, you know, I've went before to these schools, and this school is just, the food is disgusting, man. So, in Nebraska, man, they had the cook in the kitchen, man. He served these kids kangaroo meat, man. That is wild.
Yeah, man, I saw the article. And the crazy thing is, I believe I saw this article, or you told me about this article, maybe like the day after we were all having this conversation. So, it's just crazy that something like that will pop up, right? The irony of it all, or something like that, will pop up in the media as we are sitting here, the four of us brothers are sitting here talking about it. But yeah, man. So like Mike J said, like in our group chat, we talk about all kinds of crap. And like I said, one of our brothers, y'all didn't heard him before, Ray Day, was, you know, he was at his art of school and witnessed the lunch and was like, man, I can't let my kids eat this. And apparently his kids wasn't eating it. So yeah. we were all talking about it. You know, I send my boys with their lunch. You know, our other brother, Dap, he sends his boys with their lunch or whatnot. So we were just all talking about it, you know, as, you know, being men, being fathers, and trying to make sure that our kids are, you know, nourished properly and nourished correctly. And it's interesting because at my son's school, there's a big initiative surrounding child hunger. And there's a lot of stuff that, you know, like that the Dad's Club and different organizations within the school, we talk about and trying to make sure that kids are eating and eating right. But even throughout all of that, you know, I sit back and I can look at some of the food in my son's school. And, you know, again, there's a reason why I send them with their food. So my dad and I start talking about like the quality of food. Like, yeah, we want to make sure kids are eating and all of that. And something's better than nothing. But like, what are we putting in these kids' systems from a school standpoint? You know what I mean? I know everything is like, you know, budgetary and, you know, we got to watch the finances and so forth. But like, are we really setting these kids up for success with what we are providing them for ingestion? Like, I just don't know about it, man. I don't know about that.
Yeah, I got it. But just to piggyback off that, my lady, her daughter, you know what I'm saying, I love her to death. She got sick at school today. I guess she ate something. So she threw up at school. So
it wasn't the kangaroo meat, was it?
Well, I guess so. She's tall. So she started dunking tomorrow, maybe it was the kangaroo meat. But yeah, man. So I don't know, man. I remember even when we were kids, man, I would see, you know, your dad would come bring you food and I would bring my lunch at times. Sometimes I would eat this. It's kind of, it just depends, man. But I remember working at a job where they made the school lunches on the other side. I was like, this is out here kind of raw. Now, I mean, it got better once we got to high school, but elementary school was this like, oh man, I feel like they were serving like two steps up from jail. That's when they serving some of these kids, man. So, you know, I don't know. So, but I know they don't serve in the private schools, because I know my sister works at a company that they cater the food and they eat good, but.
My brothers go to a private school and they definitely don't eat like that. They eating real good over there. So again, you know, I know that everything is, you know, based off of, you know, budget and finances and, you know, what's available to you, but it's to the extent where it's like, man, come on. If there is such a discrepancy, like I say, with your sister's company and my brothers in the school that they go, my brother in the school that he goes to, it's like, man, I mean, like these kids are eating stuff that, you know, the Gordon Ramsay is cooking. But then you go to schools like, you know, potentially, like, and my son's school is not bad. And I know that my brother Ray Day, his daughter's school is not bad at all. Actually, they're both really good schools. But from an education standpoint, but then you look at it, it's like, man, both of these schools are lacking in the nutritional area. So it's kind of like, you know, I know that I pay, you know, pay my dues and book fees and all that type of stuff. And just like all of my brothers do, it's like, man, our money has to go more than just to extracurriculars or things like that. You know what I mean? Honestly, if I was getting charged $20 more, you know, a year, $30 more a year, and that meant better food that's going to be provided in the school, not that I'm having to stand. Like I, as a parent, I would be for that, man. It's just because of, like you said, some of these kids, it looks like gruel. It's you know, just slop, prison food, you know?
Yeah, I saw it. I was like, ugh. And then now it's like, and then it's hard. Like if you go eat lunch with the kid, it's hard to even like bring in like different food. They're very specific on what you can bring in. So, which is fine, yeah. You know, whatever. But it's just like the stuff that they're serving, like, yeah, no, it's like,
yeah, so,
kind of nasty.
Yeah. So why don't y'all let us know, man? Hit us up on Twitter, hit us up on IG, and let's kind of let us know you guys' perspective, you know, whether you got kids or nieces or nephews or whatnot, kind of what some of the things are going on in your area, your city, or maybe you here in the Knapp, and we can talk about it. And, you know, maybe we can get something going with, you know, with our city county council or whatnot. But I definitely think that there is a definite room for improvement in this body of work.
Yeah, because it's pretty much disgusting, man. But shout out to everybody who influenced that segment of the show, man. Because, you know, you didn't, I didn't really think about putting everything together. But let's get to that damn Trump news, man. And y'all, he was at your boy was out here wild another day, man. So he was at a campaign stop. You know, my man, he loves those. Like, I think that's for him, besides probably getting on Air Force One and, you know, doing whatever he does, do out his like 4-hour work day. He loves these campaign rallies. So he was out there, man, campaigning for somebody. And he was like, you know, people say nationalist is a bad thing, but I feel I'm a nationalist. And then he started yelling, like, I'm a nationalist. And then these fools behind him and, like, in the crowd started yelling nationalist. And for those who don't know what nationalists are, these are typically people who've been steeped in racism. Like, one of the well-known nationalists, you know, worldwide was Adolf Hitler. And you might have Ho Chi Minh, but Hitler is usually when you think of nationalism. You usually think of Adolf Hitler. So, you know, that's what my man says. He says he wants to be a nationalist. And hey, that was out of his words. I know we have some people who differ from my political views, but I only can go on what the man says. And this wasn't a tweet. This is what he said out of his mouth, that he was a nationalist. So I was reading the Washington Post, and it's just shake your head. But, and also.
Yeah, man. Like, there's always something with that guy. Like, I know that I say it a lot, but it's like, and it's cliche, you're like, what next? Like, what else is this dude going to say or do or whatever? And sure enough, man, he finds a way. finds a way to upstage his previous dumbass.
Man, it's just like, yo, the movie is going to be so lit, though. Did you ever see the movie that they did on John McCain and what's that girl from Alaska? Sarah Palin?
Nah, I missed that.
That's a good flick, man. It was on they had old girl from Saturday Night Live do Sarah Palin. She had it down. As our homeboy back in the day, Dennis Brady would say, down pat. So
down pat.
Down pat, dog.
Shout out to DB.
DB, man. He had the longest crossover ever. Like, he would cross over, but not the ball wouldn't move. He would just crawl and shake his shoulders and neck real in his random motion, but wouldn't go anywhere. But shout out.
Had like a 24-hour crossover, man.
Yeah, but a 24-hour crossover, but wouldn't go 2 feet. But
right,
he's out there wilding, man. But back to it, man. So this another day he was lying about. So he says he's gonna pass a 10% tax cut on for the middle class, right? So the reporter's asking him, and this is in the Washington Post, like, so when are you gonna do it? He said, you can't do it now. The reporter said, you can't do it now because Congress is not in session. Are you gonna do executive order? No, we're gonna pass it. So when are you gonna do it? We're gonna do it. When it's changed, like November 1st, he said, we can't do November 1st because Congress is not in session. We're gonna do it. And then he just cuts it off. Like, it's just like it's like a pathological liar, and it's just infuriating to be around people who vote against their own interests. Like, dude, is the biggest hustle with Trump is the fact that he has people who are poor that actually believe that he is like them, like a common man. This dude has been a rich guy all his life. They've talked about all the money and equity and property his daddy left to him. It's like equates to $400 million. That dude is not a common man like y'all. I seen a dude eat a, I don't know if it was a McRib or something, but eating with a knife and fork. this dude is not like y'all. Yeah, but
he's got small hands, bro. You know, you don't want to get the small hands saucy.
Hey, man, but hey, there's one more thing on that damn Trump news. So I was reading something. I mean, I love the Washington Post, and it popped up again. So they had this guy, he was on a Southwest plane, so he's touching this woman. She said first, she thought it was just like a, you know, it was like a thing of, you know, I just thought he was just touching me on accident. He touching her again. Well, he told her, when you know, so they moved her. So, you know, if you do anything on the plane, you know, they're going to have the federales waiting on you. You know, so gets off the plane, and they tell him, basically, he said he felt like he could do it because President Trump could did it. And that goes back to that Access Hollywood take with Billy Bush. So, like I said, man, you know, it's you know, I mean, whatever. However y'all vote, and you know, voting is important. November 6th, whoever you vote for, make your voice.
I was just about to say that. Yes, express your voice, make your voice known. Don't really give a damn who you vote for. Hopefully, you're voting for someone that does not support or participate in the type of antics that the 45th president does. But please go out and vote, y'all. Just vote.
And for all right, man, I do got a shout out though. Shout out to Stacey Abrams in Georgia. She wins, she'd be the first black woman mayor. I mean, you're not mayor, but governor in the history of the United States. And shout out to Andrew Gillum. You know, black man running the governor for Florida, man. So they had a debate against Ron DeSantis the other day, man. And Gilliam tore him to shreds. But, you know, telling who to vote for, I'm just saying shout out to them. So black excellence.
Yes, sir. Black excellence.
All right, man. So, hey, man. So, bro, let's get to the extra mayo. But since it's October, November, and our melanin-deprived people love pumpkin spice, I'm going to call this the pumpkin spice extra mayo session, you know, because, you know, they love like, you know, in everything during this time of year, man, always has, like, pumpkin spice stuff from Starbucks. So I'm sure our melanin-deprived friends probably want a little pumpkin to enhance extra mayo. So, man, I'm going
to
get
that dig. I wanted to give one before we change it up for the season for the extra mayo. I wanted to send a shout out or see if y'all saw it on Twitter that mayo ketchup is now available from Heinz. It's called Mayo Chup. It's in stores now. Yeah. It's from Heinz. You can get on Heinz's Twitter page, HeinzKetchup_US, @HeinzKetchup_US. It's a new campaign. Actually, one of our partners sent it to us. It says, #Mayo MayoChup. It's finally here. Mayo and ketchup together. So we can call this the Pumpkin Spice MayoChup segment of the show.
Yeah, but let me ask you a question, man. Remember when we was in school, did you ever see people who used to dip their french fries in mayonnaise?
Yeah.
Like, yo, that's like a savage. That's, to me, that's up there with eating candy corn. And I think anybody who eats candy corn is like Jason. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that's all.
It's like a sociopathic activity.
Hey, man. Yeah, dog, who eats candy corn? Yo, it's like the nastiest candy ever. Like, yo, oh my God, if I see somebody eating candy corn, man, I'm really going to have a – I don't even know if I'm going to have a conversation with you. I'm just going to have to move to the other side of the street. Like, I feel like, disgusting. But, man, so let's get back to this pumpkin spice extra mayo. Was it mayo? Mayo chuck?
Yeah, it's a mayo chup.
Mayo chup. Okay. All right. You learn something new every day, man.
MAYCHUP or MAYOCHUP, Mayo Chup.
And the things that you learn about our melanin deprived people. All right, man. So, I was perusing the social media, man, and they had this brother in Detroit. He was working in the public garden. Three of our melanin deprived women decided to call the police on him, and he ended up getting arrested. And they were talking about for stalking, and he was accusing him of being a gangbanger because he painted trees red, black, and green. Talking about he was a gangbanger, and talking about he had guns and all this type of stuff. And he was a child molester. He got acquitted of everything. So, you know, so let's kind of run. Let's do the countdown of what black people can't do. Barbecue. Cut grass.
I was going to say cut grass, sleep. Yeah. Sell lemonade.
Going to your own apartment.
Yep, cannot go into your own apartment. You cannot go to the pool at your apartment complex.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
I bet you have a key too. Yeah. Let's see. You technically can't drive while black. Apparently, flying while black. I know you saw the article about the black woman that was being harassed by the racist white man, and she had to move her seat even though he was the instigator. So you cannot fly while black either. Honestly, Mike J, it's probably going to come to a point where you and I cannot do this podcast as two black males. So don't be surprised, y'all, if that comes.
You can't even. You know, I mean, in some cases, you can't even take a sick day while black. So that goes. That, man, that's a little private joke between Bowtie and I. So can't be sick while black either. So, you know,
cannot be sick while black. No, sir.
So, like I said, man. So shout out to, you know, the brother got acquitted, which he should have been. So just think of him having to pay a lawyer and go through all that extra stress of life. Because,
hey, man, I was going to say, man, I didn't mean to cut you off, but, man, the individuals who falsely accused him and went through all this, they should be the individuals that have to pay for all this and charge
that. That's the thing. There's nothing to make them do, man. I mean, because, like, all right, the only thing was happening is social shaming. Just like that black man was going to his apartment in St. Louis. The woman, you know, I think she knew her job. But, okay, lose your job. Somebody with the extra pumpkin spice, extra mayo, Chuck, going to hire you for another job. There's something the civic needs to happen. But, you know, you put, like, a big fine on somebody for reporting a crime that's not a crime. Oh, that might be a deterrent to be like, hey, I'm not going to do this because I don't want a certain amount of money to come out of my pocket.
Bro, I think it's the same. So, like, I have an alarm system on my house. You get one time for a false alarm. If your alarm goes off and they have to send out the police or fire department or whomever for a second time, you get fined for that.
Yeah.
You have to pay a fine for that. So I think this is the same. In my opinion, it's the same. You are falsely, you know, you have a false alarm. You have a false accusation. This is unproductive use or good use of our, you know, civil servants, our officers' time to have to come and deal with this crap. Now, I'm sure that there are a few officers that get a kick out of it, but you also cannot babysit kids that are not of the same color or race as you, also, Mike J, while black. Just like the gentleman who was babysitting the two white kids, and the lady was harassing him, talking about, she followed this man. And then the police came out, and the kids were like, no, he's our babysitter. Police came out, and they're questioning the kids and questioning him and all that type of stuff. It's like, some of the police are very, you know, in tune and like, okay, this is ridiculous. But there are others that seem to get a kick out of it and say, okay, yeah, we're going to just kind of push the envelope on this. So, but I do think that there should be a fine for all of these things to try to deter. Because it's honestly, I'm not going to say it's getting out of hand. It's beyond out of hand at this point.
Can't, I mean, it's just like I said, while black, it's so many things to limit us, and, you know, we just want to basically be productive members of society and be left the hell alone. But, you know, so it's frustrating having to keep talking about the same thing every week, but I feel like this is some things you just might not catch. And we also, you know, wanted to show us, be able to talk about, you know, we could talk about from Mark Morrison and my me wanting a mink coat, but we also want to be able to throw in some of this political stuff and just the fact to be able to stand up. So let's jump into the Twizzler.
Or should I say, take a knee with Cap?
Hey, man. Yeah, that was interesting. We'll talk about Malcolm
Jenkins
later. But hey, man, I want you to talk about this thing in Coral Springs because we talked about it in Florida. So go ahead about the cops with the young sister getting beat on.
Yeah, man. So there was a viral video. It's a viral video currently, and the story came out. But these police officers, all of them, can sit on a Twizzler. So these police officers, I can't remember exactly why they were called. I think it might have been disturbance in the neighborhood or disorderly conduct or something like that. Nonetheless, there were two officers. They had this young black girl, I believe she was 16 years old. One officer had her pinned down. Her arms were up under her, like up under her torso and her body. So she could not, you know, get her arms free to, you know, swing or be violent or aggressive as they probably were going to try to say that she was. It clearly shows that all of her weight, and not just her weight, but the first officer's body weight was on her, so she really could not move except her legs. But then there's a second officer that's putting his body weight on her as well, but he is proceeding to punch her, like literally punching her with a closed fist in her thigh, hip, buttock area. And no way, there's no explanation for it. Like, he's literally punching her. I guess he's trying to say in an effort to subdue her or to calm her down. But I don't think that punching someone is actually a calming type of situation or something that's going to calm the scenario down. So for those Coral Spring cops, number one, I hope that they lose their jobs. And I don't say that very often, but I hope these individuals have no business trying to quote unquote protect and serve or be responding to anything. I hope they lose their job. I hope that they are not only, as Mike J said, socially shamed or publicly shamed, but there needs to be some penalty against these cops, at least assault, not on a police officer, but by a police officer, because there's no reason at all that there's no, from that video, they were not trying to de-escalate the situation at all. He's literally punching a 16-year-old woman, female, with a closed fist while she cannot defend herself or while she is subdued. There's no call for that, man. So
not at all.
They can sit on the Twizzler, and I'm not going to waste a lot of time with giving them a creative Twizzler. They can actually, you know, kick rocks. I don't wish too much ill will on people. But if that had been my daughter, there would have definitely been some other asses getting kicked, because that's just ridiculous, man. So those punk asses can sit on the Twizzler, and we don't carry on with our podcast.
All right, man. So let's get to sports, bro. I mean, I think you summed it up perfectly, man. I saw that and was appalled. But let's get to sports, appalled. Man. Appalled. So, man, I saw Eric Reed and Malcolm Jenkins, man. You know, I know they've been kind of – they fell out over this whole situation of kneeling and Eric Reed calling him a neo-colonialist. And, you know, and Malcolm Jenkins felt like he tried to basically take the money from the NFL and then shutting those other guys out, man. But what was your thought when you first saw that, man?
My first thought was that I wish that it was handled differently. I understand both brothers' point of view. I understand where both are coming from. My initial thought was that I wish that it could have been handled differently. I think that both of them have emotions, and they both were, you know, aggressive at the moment. But I think that both of those brothers are very intelligent. I think that in other circumstances, there could have been the possibility of them sitting down and talking out these differences behind closed doors or with a moderator or something like that. I didn't like seeing that play out on the field. Play out on the field as it did. Just because I think that it adds fuel to the fire of certain individuals' base. That all these are animals or whatever he called them. I can't remember the exact words. Whatever your president called NFL players.
He called them sons of bitches.
Yeah, I think it just adds fuel to that fire unnecessarily. But like I said, both Malcolm Jenkins and Eric Reed are very intelligent individuals, very intelligent brothers. And like my initial thought was, I just wish it would have been able to be handled a little bit differently. Because like I understand both points of view, both perspectives. I would just like to see it handled differently. That's all.
Yeah, same here, man. I mean, the good thing is they're both on defense, so they didn't have to like play against each other, because they would have definitely, right, if they would have got to like pushing and shoving on the field, and not even about that situation, but just the fact of, you know, football is an emotional game. People would have took that little blurb, and they would have made that the narrative, because, you know, folks love to take a 5-second soundbite on people and make that change the narrative from the fact of really discussing people of color, you know, being beat by police, which we just discussed in Coral Springs, Florida. But so then let me ask you a question, man. So I see the Cowboys made a trade for Amari Cooper, man. If so, I know you're not a Cowboys fan, but, you know, what do you think about that, man? Would you have made that trade for Amari Cooper?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm a coach or owner, you know, I want to be aggressive and I want to try to win. And if that's a good, you know, if I feel that that's a good move for me to try to win now and be competitive now. Like I said, I understand that you got to grow and there's a process involved in certain aspects, but they had a deficiency, a big deficiency right now. I think Cole Beasley is solid. I don't think he's the number one. Honestly, I don't feel like Amari Cooper's the number one, but I think that he gives them a little something extra, something more than what they had currently. So my opinion, for me, I would have made the trade because I was like, you know, hey, let's try to win now. We've got, you know, a decent enough quarterback. You know, we've got one of the top running backs. Our defense is serviceable. Our offensive line is a shell of its former self, but it's still pretty solid. It's pretty good. We just got to keep guys from – we got to keep teams, should I say, from having 8-9 guys in the box to load up on Zeke. We got to spread it out to them. So I would have made the trade just to try to be aggressive and go for, you know, try to win now.
Yeah, so the bird in hand is what they might say, because, you know, at least you know you get Amari Cooper. I mean, he had a good year and then when he came into the league, and as the Raiders start stinking it up, and David Carr, which is somebody I'm not particularly high on, he struggled, man. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting what the Raiders do with these draft picks. I think between 2019 and 2020, they had 5 first-round picks. So It'd be interesting, man. You know, I always thought John Gruden was overrated. You know, running that offense from like the late 90s and early 2000s, spider, banana, whatever he would say. Basically, you know, the little, you know, play action pass to the fullback. So it'll be interesting to see how he evolves as a coach, because I feel like dude is overrated, man. I mean, I feel like Dungy left him a championship team. He walked into it.
Agreed.
And then, you know, that's really, you know, it. After that, he didn't do too much. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what – I feel like he's super overrated for one Super Bowl, man. But man, let's jump into what we really want to discuss, man. Bruh, what was your thoughts when you seen Chris Paul and Rajon Rondo?
Man, I didn't see it until, like, the next morning. Number one, I saw, like, all the stuff in the group chat, in the group text. But then I started seeing stuff on social media, and I was like, man, okay. So this is what, the third game, fourth game of the season? We already scrapping? All right. You know, I don't, you know, I'm not a huge proponent of, you know, fighting or whatnot, but I like the competitors.
That's
I like the competitive nature. I like, yeah. I know that we differ on that. I'm not, I'm a person. I like the competitive nature. I like that, you know, guys are playing their heart, leaving it on the court and all that type of stuff. So my only thoughts on it was that a lot of people were like, oh man, you know, Rondo pieced Paul up, and he did get a good first punch in. But I don't think that people realize that Chris Paul actually got a good, nice little two piece in. He got a little uppercut and a little jab in, and he connected on both of them. So I don't think that people saw that.
Who throws an uppercut in a regular fight without? Only time you see an uppercut is in a boxing ring or MMA or kickboxing or something.
Hey, man.
I'm like, hey, yo, you know, Chris Paul got to be a dude on a whole nother level to be like, oh, word, yo, dude, snuff me with this right hand, yo, eat this jab and uppercut. Because, you know, yo, he stepped into it too.
I was gonna say he stepped into it too. But I think that just goes to show how cerebral Chris Paul is. Like, I mean, he's a type of basketball player. He's a thinker. He's a true point guard. Not saying that Rondo isn't. I think Rondo is as well. But, you know, Chris Paul might have a little Marvin Harrison in him, man. He might whoop your ass and you just don't even realize it.
Hey, man. So let me ask you this. So, you know, they had the little fisticuffs. And before we talk about Brandon Ingram taking all his frustration out, throwing that random ass punch. So, but let's go back to Carmelo saying that ain't what dudes do. But I remember Carmelo stealing off on Marty Collins, you know, snuffing him with the sucker punch when it was all over, and him like backing up, and Jerry Jeffries, Bloomington, Indiana, in the house running down on Melo, man. So,
yeah.
Yo, man. But what I really want to ask you, so what do you think about that? Then people are talking about LeBron should have been with his teammates, and he stepped in to, like, you know, the whole Chris Paul, I guess just to stand up for Chris. I don't know what to stand up for Chris Paul. I just think he just stepped in just try to prevent anything else from going on, man. So what do you think about
that? That's exactly what I think. I think that people are making something out of nothing, in my opinion. If you look at the footage, LeBron was standing right there, and he was facing Chris Paul, and he was closest to Chris Paul. All LeBron did was he literally got in between them and started pushing Chris Paul away. Like that's all he did. He was trying to break up the fight. That's it. I don't think that he was in his mind like, oh, this is my best friend or my kid's godfather and all the other shit that people were saying about it. LeBron literally was trying to keep it from escalating further. That's it. And I don't think it had anything to do with anything else, in my opinion. Because like I said, he was standing right there, and he was standing closer to Chris Paul. If I'm trying to break up a fight, if I am going to break up a fight, I'm naturally going to grab the person who's closest to me to try to intervene. That just is what it is. And I think that's how LeBron does. I just think people are trying to read too much into it. And there are a lot of people that want to try to make LeBron out to be, you know, this ass or scapegoat or bad guy or, oh, he's this or that. In this situation, all LeBron did was try to break up a fight. And he grabbed the person that was closest to him and tried to de-escalate the situation. That's it.
Yeah, man, I agree with you, man. I don't think it was that deep. That would be like if you and I were on opposing teams and I'm getting into a kerfuffle with some cats, and then you kind of step in to try to sit back and hold me back. The difference is, you know, like, you know, I'm like, I weigh a lot more than you, so, you know, you might get like tossed out the paint, and so I can get back to some ruckus, but, you know, I don't. But then again, I ain't gonna lie, bro. You had that Bulls jersey. You know, you my brother. We could talk it out later. Yeah, I'm coming in like Shawn Michaels did Marty Jannetty, handshaking. And like, as soon as you turn around, the kick to the face.
Damn.
All for the Bulls fandom. All for the Bulls.
Damn, y'all. Y'all just heard Mike J say he would snuff his best friend because I was wearing a Bulls jersey.
Hey, you know how competitive I am. Hey, I go for the win, bro.
Hey, Mike, they're trying to take your boy. They trying to take your boy out, y'all.
Hey, man, we can talk about. Hey, we've been boys almost 30 years, bro. We can talk about that later, man. Oh, put it like this. You know how? See, this cat, he talks like he ain't competitive and all this type of stuff. He's the worst. He's the sneaky type of competitive guy. Like, all right, so let me give y'all a little inside behind. It was an inside baseball. So this cat hits me up the other day and was like, "Yo, like, you know, because, you know, I had been kind of like not into the NFL and like not doing any fantasy football, but I forgot that I was in the league." So he was just like, "Yo, man,
this dude trying to throw out all the secrets."
No. So I'm just gonna keep it real. We know people on the podcast. So then he was just like, "Yo, what about Saquon Barkley and somebody else?" He said, I was like, "Nigga, what you talking about?" Like, you know, I was kind of irritated. You know, I was like, you know, I'm getting over this. Like, I just, what are you talking about? Saquon Barkley and somebody else. I'm just like, you know, I started sending him to the FOH, fuck out of here with that, because I didn't know what he was talking about. But he was like, you know, you and such and such. And he was like, "Yo," so I was like, "I ain't doing it." He was just like, "Well, it'll be easy for you." So I was like, "Yo," I said, "Well, renounce your Bulls fandom." I figured
y'all see how deep rooted Mike J's hatred is for the Bulls.
Hey, man, I just thought it was funny because I figured, like, if you want to, you know, is the quote the great tip of Clifford Harris, is you happy? So, you know, needless to say, Saquon Barkley's still on my team. But I just thought that was funny, man. But let me, hey, man, so what do you think about Brandon Ingram, bro? You think that nigga's frustrated because people talking about his game? Because that just came out the blue.
Yeah, man, I really don't know what to make of Brandon Ingram, to be honest. Like, I think that he was just frustrated. I think that he didn't know how to deal with it. You know, James Harden, he's one of the top players in the league for a reason. He's able to create contact. He's able to do those little things that can kind of get to you, get under your skin, but the refs give him the call because, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, I instigated it, but the teacher caught you. And that's kind of, you know, a little bit of his game, you know, good, bad, or indifferent. He's one of the best in the game. He's the MVP. But he's going to get some calls, especially against the young fellas. So I think that Brandon Ingram just did not know how to handle it at the moment and is just going to have to get better at that, you know, as his NBA career progresses. I think Brandon Ingram's a great talent. I think he's going to have a long, you know, career in the NBA. He just got to get over that mental hump.
Yeah, man. You know, also never forget, man, that brother's from Kingston, North Carolina, man, the home of, like, Jerry Stackhouse and, like, you know, James Worthy. You know, Brandon Ingram should have went to North Carolina, UNC, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. But, hey, man, you know, you never know what type of environments these cats come from, man. Kingston is rough. So, you know, it's crazy. Yeah,
Brandon Ingram might bite you.
Yeah, man, he do got that animal look to him, boy. It look like he kind of got that rabid animal look. Like, you ever see, like, you know, you watch on YouTube, you see, like, they be killing them rats and stuff, but they be having, like, you know, rabies and stuff. That's how he kind of reminds me of. Like, he, like, bites you, and then, like, he start foaming at the mouth like a rabid dog. So,
damn. Hey, yeah, now you got Brandon Ingram microwaving cats.
Hey, bro, you swing from like 8 feet away, bro, with some dreads. I don't know what you might be on, man.
Hey, man, before we transition into the next topic, bro, I need to ask you this question.
Go ahead.
Who do you think had the longest punch, the Brandon Ingram punch or that Jermaine O'Neal baseball slide during the mouth of the Palace?
That JL thing. Shout out to the Pacers, man. Like I said, I've been a Pacers fan all my life. We ain't got no championship, but we whoop ass on the court. We ain't taking no shit on the court. Hey, man, the difference is
shout out to Stack 5, Steven Jackson.
Hey, man. I'm like, is J.O. like 7 foot? He knocked the nigga out my height. You know what I'm saying? The fact, yo, man, I watched it live when I got home, man. I watched it. We had to do like, and we're gonna get into like the whole Malice from the Palace, but I gotta go with J.O. because the slide made the knockout punch even more. Because we watched him. My man slid. He made him hitting him on the chin. Because if he wouldn't have slid, he probably would have like hit him on the top of the head, like those little things that showbiz. You get the little mallet, your kids like hit the little moles and stuff, whack a mole. But yo, when he slid on that damn beard that got thrown on Jonathan Bender, he slid right to the damn punch.
Hey man, that has to be one of the cleanest snuffs that I've ever seen, man. Shout out to J.O. Hey man, it was clean. You a 7 foot professional athlete. You hit a dude that's like 5'9" and like a regular everyday Joe. Hey man, he took that dude out, bro.
Oh, he slid too, boy, with the damn headband on. But yeah, man. But also, what's been going around the social media thing is, you know, footage of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar getting the elbow by Kent Benson, getting it, gathering himself, and knocking Kent Benson out. I think he ended up breaking Kent Benson's jaw. Yo,
yeah, he broke his jaw.
Was like 7'2" and was like in the martial arts. You know, Kareem. Man, you know,
he's happy.
You know, shout outs. What's the dude, man? To be Tariq Nasheed. To be talking about the spirit of Ogun when black people get fed up.
Oh,
his ass. Yo, he hit him with the Nation of Islam. Yeah, he hit him with the Nation of Islam, Farrakhan right hand, dog. Nigga put him on the floor.
Yeah, he's honorary fruit.
Like after having to gather yourself, and then and also in the back, Kareem had them super huggers on, gathering himself and bending over, like catching his breath and taking like 3 steps and like snuffing him. Yo, yeah, that snuff was crazy. How you get snuffed by a man with a receding hairline, some nut huggers on, and
goggles,
nigga. Cap. Yo.
Hey, man. Cap wasn't no plaything, man.
Oh, no, not at all. But, man, let me ask you this before we jump off this Rondo, Chris Paul thing. I read, man, they said that Chris Paul's wife and Rondo's girlfriend pushed Chris Paul's wife in the stands. I think that adds a whole
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, man, I read it on CNN, man. You know, that's not my bad. Excuse me, Sports Illustrated. Excuse me. And they said, they were all, you know, all the wives sitting and girlfriends sitting in a certain area. And his Rondo's lady pushed Chris Paul's wife. Now, I don't know if Chris Paul's wife said anything. I don't even care at this point. If I'm Chris Paul, yo, we got to run this back. We got to run this like after the season or something, bro.
Like a mixed tag team?
No. I'm talking about one-on-one, bro. One-on-one.
Oh, I thought you were talking about having nigga Rondo and his girlfriend versus Chris Paul and his wife, like a mixed martial arts fight.
No. We got to handle this one-on-one, dog. And you know, that's a no-go. You can say whatever you want about me. You can do whatever you want. You know, there's gonna be a limit. But when my woman is involved, oh hell no. Hell, I'm dealing with a gap tooth bastard now that I'm trying not to put my hands on. Looking for, you know what I'm saying, for disrespecting my queen and everything. And you know I'll fuck you up, boy. And you know I will. You know I will. You know what I'm saying? But I'm trying to get past that. But you can't I'm dead ass when it comes to that. Hell, you see me fighting like the fifth.
No, I'm talking about him. I know. I know who you're talking about. That's why I said him. This guy.
Yeah, that guy. That guy. But yeah, man. Can you imagine? Like, you know, I've been knowing your queen, man, since we was kids. Can you imagine? Like because you know you get into it with somebody else in basketball, not the streets. Basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Did she push your queen? You gonna want to fight the dude?
No. Yeah. I was gonna say, it just is what it is. It's gonna be. In the immortal words of Dean Big Brother Almighty, we're going to come to blows.
ain't no talking after that point, man. So I feel like that's been beyond now. If she says some stuff to get out of pocket, I might have to pull her to the side like, yo, you need to chill. But I feel like I think this Chris Paul and Rondo thing been simmering for a while. I don't think this is a one-off. You know what I mean? I think this has been simmering for a long time. I done seen Chris Paul, you know, low blow Julius Hodge when he's at Wake Forest. I seen Rondo, like, you know, trying to, like, kick, you know, kick somebody in the head when he's at Kentucky, similar to how Owen Hart did the roundhouse kick on Shawn Michaels back in the day, and he put him out of the WWF. Yo, these two niggas is dirty. Let's just keep it real. Nothing about Chris Paul and Rajon Rondo that says clean basketball player. Great basketball player, but nothing says clean, all right? So, you get to these guys, man. So, I feel like they need to have, like, you know, a fight to the finish. You know, just go ahead, man. After the season, go ahead, knuckle up, and shoot the fair one, shoot the five, catch the fade, however you want to get it, man. But it's definitely one of those things. But, you know, y'all let us know what y'all think about that. I think when the women get involved, and I'm not a sexist, I just feel like that's just a whole nother level, man. I don't even want that type of energy around my family. Right. So, me, whatever, it's whatever. And I'm not trying to be tough, guys. I feel like I'm a man. I can handle it. But women, nah.
Right. No, I dig it.
So let me ask you this, man. We can kind of transition after we get Alpha Sports to this. But I want to get your opinion. You have a son. And, you know, what do you think about this whole G League thing? So, you know, now it's just like they're saying if a certain, you know, if they deem you as an NBA talent, instead of going to college, you could send your kid could go to the G League for $125,000 for 1 year. What do you think about that?
I don't know. Like I said, I would, if my son is that age, and he's going into adulthood, I would do the same thing with him that I do now. Try to talk to him, coach him, make sure that he's evaluated the situation thoroughly. But ultimately, the decision would be up to him. He's you know, going to be a grown man or whatnot. And I would support him in whatever decision that he made, but I would try to be that father figure and just make sure that he's evaluated things as clearly as possible. But again, I can't live his life for him. So I would support him in whatever decision he made and just try to make sure that he makes, you know, good decisions and try to support him in whatever that decision is.
All right.
I think it's fair.
So let's dig into this. Let's take a little few minutes. So you're an Arizona Wildcat fan, right?
Yes, sir.
So your team's been caught, you know, by the feds, you know, giving players money. So I feel, in my opinion, you know, you're an Arizona Wildcat fan. You know, y'all been caught. You know, y'all coach was on there talking about the money, man. I feel like I want my – if it was about the money, I want my son to go to college because I feel like he's going to make more than $125,000 a year to go to college. Yeah. And I feel like this whole G League setup is not it's going to be hurtful to those players. But yeah, I think the G League is full of guys trying to get to the NBA. And it's not like you go to the G League and you stay 1 year and then you go to, like, the home team because you go into the draft. So how is my kid going to develop basketball-wise? Even take out all the, like, the growing off the course of basketball-wise, if he's a shooting guard, why am I going to pass it to him? I'm trying to show the scouts what I got, my game. And plus, you're an Arizona Wildcat fan. Your team's been known to offer money, so, you know. How much money would it take from Arizona, allegedly, to get your son to commit? $40,000, $50,000?
No, if my son was going to take money or, you know, if he was looking for money, I would tell him to go to the G League if that's what he wanted to do. If that was his sole, you know, product or sole, you know, whatever, if it was money. Don't do it illegally and get caught by the feds or with these schools or whatever. If money is your motive, go ahead and go to the G League. Like I said, I would try to do exactly as I do now, try to instill substance into my boys. But I also want them to be able to make a decision. And sometimes they're going to have to make a tough decision, and sometimes they're going to make the wrong decision. And they need to learn how to cope with the decisions that they make, deal and handle the decisions that they make, and continue to move forward in life, you know, from that. So, like I said, I prefer that my son goes to college, gets his education, plays his position or whatnot on the team, so forth, and go that route. That's what I would prefer. But again, I can't live his life for him. So if he wanted to go to the G League and make $125,000 and, you know, go to University of Phoenix while he's doing that, get a degree, I would support that. I mean, I want my boys to learn that life lesson that every decision has something that's going to follow it, and how you bounce back and handle that decision and everything that follows it is what matters.
All right, man. And then I'll close this out. Me personally, if it was me, if I was in Eska, I surely wouldn't be the man in the college town than be the man in like Fort Wayne. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Socially, yeah, I feel like, man, I don't, you know, that would be a lot. I mean, I worked with like adults when I was like 16, 17, and I feel like the outcasts, they were cool, don't get me wrong, but it was just like we didn't have anything in common. But, you know, right, that's, you know, that's just, it was just interesting. So I wanted to get your opinion on that, man. So let's kick into something, man. I know we've been kicking around, you know, we think about a new segment on the show. It's called Regret, the Grown Man-ish Regrets. So this isn't going to be like, you know, what's getting, it might be, I couldn't say that, but it's not going to be probably primarily like us talking about like, you know, these deep things that are going on in our lives. We want to make it include, you know, include our listeners, our peoples. So, man, I was just thinking the other day, like, yo, we are kids of BET, right? So, give me two music videos, bro, that you wish you could have been in, and why?
I wish I would have been in Tip Drill for obvious reasons.
All right.
I wish I could have been on set for that. And then I would probably say I wish I was on set for Big Pimpin' with UGK and Jay-Z. And not, of course, there was all kinds of individuals around that were attractive and whatnot, but I'm a UGK fan. I'm a Jay-Z fan too. I'm a bigger UGK fan, but I think it would have been interesting to be in the room with individuals like Jay-Z, like Bun B, like Pimp C. All of them bring something very unique to the game, but also to our community as a whole, like the Black community, the hip hop community, just in general. And it would have been interesting to be around those three very different men, but kind of the same, you know, kind of the same in many aspects, and just to kind of, you know, listen to conversations and see what their approaches are to life and to their craft. A third music video, if I can. A third music video would have been Q-Tip's Vibrant Thing. I've always liked that song, always liked that video. So I think that would have been another video that I would have been in or that would have wanted to be in just for the fun aspect.
All right, man. So for me, the first one would be Real Compton City G's. Yo, because back in the day, back in the day, yo, I had some red jeans, a flannel, a gold chain, and a turtleneck, and I feel like that all I needed was to take the turtleneck off and some fake Jodeci boots. I'd have been right there, you know, lined up with Eazy-E, but I wanted to be the dude to be like, yo, Eazy, they tried to fade you on Drake Day. I want to have his part. You know, then that's when Eazy paid every day. I definitely want to be a Real Compton City G's. And I feel like, you know, I always wondered if it was like hot as hell under that flannel, because Eazy had a curl and a flannel. So I always wondered, like, did he sweat out his curl on set? Because he's in California. It's probably hot as hell. That dude had a flannel, or he had a flannel button all the way up to his top butt, to his top lip. I always want to be in that video. And the second one, it'd probably be Pussy Poppin'. You know, man, I back in back. Oh, yeah, like, you know, Jameson Brewer, former Indiana Pacer. I remember seeing him, you know, in the video, and then I ended up seeing him at a nightclub, you know, in Indianapolis, and he had his Pacer practice uniform, his Pacer warm-up on in the club, you know, so everybody knew he paid for the Pacers. So I feel like that'd be an interesting video, you know. I feel like Atlanta's a great city. They had a lot of young ladies that they needed to get their college tuition paid for. And I don't like the song. So, hey. So that's one of the things we would kind of regret that, you know, as far as, you know, videos we can be in. And we'll jump deeper into these episodes, man. I just think it was something fun to talk about. And one more regret, bro. What album do you regret buying? Not streaming, because, you know, we didn't grow up in a streaming ass. We grew up in a buying albums, bro. So what album do you regret buying?
Oh, excuse me. I regret buying that first damn Cain and Abel album off of No Limit.
Oh, yeah.
The one with the, like, the green album cover.
Is that the one they said they got more pussy than the Pointer Sisters?
Yes. Yeah, whatever the hell album that was. I can't even think of the damn name of it. Oh my god, that damn album was just freaking ass butter. Like that album was terrible.
I remember Yeah, man. I remember that mug. I just can't remember what it was called. I'm gonna look it up real quick and look under the.
That's what I did. Now, am I my brother's keeper?
Yeah,
that's what it's called. Yeah. Am I my brother's keeper? Oh my God, that. Man, yeah. that bad boy should not have even went copper. That
mug went gold.
Terrible album. Ugh. Man. Yeah, I regret buying that album.
Yeah, it's a couple for me, man. Looking back now, I got a few of them, but man, one of them I regret buying was at the second Noriega album, the Melvin Flint one. Yeah, I didn't like that one at all. Yeah. Let me see. Yeah. I regretted buying the G Code Juvenile. I like for him, but I guess I expected it to be 400 degrees, but you know, G Code, yeah. I just didn't like it. And third, man, I bought the second Diddy album, Forever Joint. Yo, when my man said I bust shots out the Bentley coupe, I said, oh damn. this set the damn tone for the damn album. Because No Way Out was good, but the Forever Joint with the PE 2000.
Garbage.
Hey man, so what you bumping right now, man? Like what you just like listening to?
Oh man, let's see. I am peeping out that new Mario album. Can't think of what it's called. Dancing Shadows. That new Mario album just came out. It's been pretty dope from what I've heard. I have about three or four songs that I have not listened to yet. But from what I've heard, that's been pretty, it's been pretty dope. I am still on my Daniel Caesar kick. I definitely been listening to Daniel Caesar for the R&B groove. For the rap, hey man, I want to put y'all on to this UK rap, this UK drill rap. Man, if y'all are not listening to it, man, these cats are for real. And shout out to my big homie Cliff, man, he put me onto quite a few of these cats. But man, they got D-Block Europe. This is a cat called Young Bane. He's got this song called Life. All this is on Spotify, man. That song goes, bruh. Just a song called Tomorrow Ain't Promised. Excuse me. It's got Mozzie, a cat named Mozzie, Rex Life Raj, a little Boosie's on here. But this cat Mozzie and D-Block Europe, yo, like they are bringing the damn heat, man. So if y'all not listening to some of this UK rap, y'all definitely need to be put on. And then another cut called Praise the Lord is ASAP Rocky and this UK cat called Skepta. Yo, that's a banger too. So if you're listening to rap or whatnot, I definitely recommend some of this UK type rap that's been coming out. These guys are flowing. The production is insane. But moreover, I've really been on my R&B groove here lately. And like I said, you know, I've been trickled in some internet, some Luke James. I've been listening to, he got this song called These Arms. That's been my little cut here lately. Real Ass Nigga by Miguel from the Superfly album. Like I've been on that here lately. So just a combination of things that, like I said, the UK stuff, the rap has been intermittent. I've been moody, you know, here lately, just about different little crazy stuff that's going on. But for those that know me, you know, I stay on the R&B type groove. So what about you, Mike J, man? What you got? What you bumping in the ear?
Actually, man, I was listening to this brother named Reason. He's in TDE camp. He got a nice little album, man. He's from Cali. He's rapping his ass off. It's pretty tight. Let me see. I need to get into, I'm going to see Raheem Devon had a new one. I just hadn't gotten to it yet. You know, it's just so much music now with streaming. It's like you just get overwhelmed with stuff. Actually, I listen to this young kid called Trans Lee. He's like a part of, he's in with Grand Hustle. Young cat, he can flow, man. He got a nice little flow to him. But, you know, I hear, you know, you get so much nice stuff streaming that you just pick up different things, man. So, and for me, man, I might go back to some Babyface. And this kind of really just depends on the mood I'm in, you know, for that day. You know, I will sit back and listen to some. I was putting together a New Jack Swing mix the other day, so still haven't finished it. So I'm more of a person that's, I like playlists, so. That's just kind of what I'm on. Kind of my mood dictates how I'm going.
Now, if you're talking about throwback, yeah, now, just last night, I was listening to LTD's Love Ballad. So you want to throw that out there? You're damn right.
Came in there. Ding, ding, ding. Yeah. But yeah, you know, I'm one of those people, man. I just, whatever it is, you might have seen me, you know, rock some prints a lot of times too. But new stuff, man, that's just, I just got a lot of stuff I want to get to, man. I haven't got to that Daniel Caesar yet. It's just, you just get overwhelmed with so much music since, you know, you're only paying $10 for it. But man, so let's go ahead and almost finish this bad boy up, man. So it's been 6 years since Good Kid, Mad City dropped, bro. I know, I think you're a Kendrick. Are you a Kendrick fan?
Yeah, I dig. I fuck with Kendrick. Yes, sir.
Yes, because I had heard of him a little bit for Section 80, man, but I didn't know a lot about him. Now, listen to this. I said, oh, yo, this dude is like rapping. But,
yeah, no, rapping.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that's probably what Rondo, that's probably what Chris Paul and Rondo thought. We fighting? Yo, he be
right.
I just thought we was going to do the NBA thing like Jalen Rose said, hold me back. But nah, they fighting. You know, Kendrick is rapping, man. And that's a shout out to TDE. They're one of my favorite rap crews, but neither here nor there. But yo, man, so give me your favorite songs off of Good Kid, Mad City.
Let's see. I think that was Poetic Justice on that album.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. Poetic Justice was, that was one of my faves for me. I did get into Kill My Vibe. That was another cut that I liked. I liked the joint Compton that was on there too. Those are probably my top three.
Yeah, for me it was Black Boy. That album. Black Boy Fly, The Recipe. Those like my two like favorites on there. That's like Black Boy Fly is my favorite on the whole album. It's on the bonus track, but that's like my favorite off the whole album. Really spitting some real stuff on there, and then like I like that Sing For Me song too. That's a dope track, man. But what's your favorite Kendrick album?
I probably have to say Damn. I know a lot of people be like, you need to go back to some of his early stuff, but for me, I like Damn. I like. To me, there was a lot talked about on Damn, and it was various types of flow that he had, various topics throughout the different songs, some very political, some kind of just, you know, with the vibe and the play things. I don't know. Like, to me, I felt like for Bowtie Fresh, it was a complete album. I liked just the versatility of the album.
Yeah, Kendrick music, man, puts me in a mood. Like, to Pimp a Butterfly was really good, but it was really dark.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Yeah, like, sonically, it was really dark. So, I mean, this his music, like, for me, like, I was able to engage with Good Kid, Mad City easier because it was, like, it was dark, but not, like, so dark sonically where you couldn't just, like, groove to it. I feel like I have to listen to some of that, so I have to listen to, like, I was sitting there in a dark room, but. I mean, I don't know. It's just kind of like my mood dictates the music of, you know, with Kendrick. But I think he's going to go down, man, when it's all said and done. Is, you know, he has a chance to be on that, on the rap, what you call it, with the presidents and stuff in there, the, you know, the mountain. You know what I'm talking about.
Like Mount Rushmore.
Mount Rushmore, a rap, man.
A rap.
Because, you know, he's to me, he's hit that level of having three great albums back to back to back, which not a lot of artists can do. So.
Yeah, facts.
Man. All right, bro. So I think we almost done with this episode, man. So, hey, man, close us on out with a positive word, brother.
Hey, man. So Bowtie Fresh going to leave y'all with this week. It's real simple. Just living your life. So live every day as if it's your last, embracing each experience as if it's your first. And like I said, that hits home on a lot of levels. Be it professionally, personally, different things going on in the family. I know I got like one on my family and stuff right now too. So, to me, that just stood out for Bowtie Fresh when I saw it the other day, and I held on to it knowing that we were going to record today. So, let that marinate with you guys and just embrace every moment that you can. Try to make the best of it and live your life. You know, just go out and live your life because you don't know when it can be taken from you.
Yeah, man. We appreciate everybody for listening. You know, check us out on Instagram, Grown Man-ish Pod,
yes, Twitter,
Grown Man-ish Pod. You can hit us up at, give me your Twitter handle, Bowtie.
At Fresh_Bowtie. Hit me up. I'm not shy. You don't be shy either.
Bill Bro Inc. So that's me. And definitely, so I'm hoping to have this episode up. You know, hopefully, you know, it ain't gonna take me like 2 hours like the last night, because bro like me is to wind it down and I'm tired. But definitely, man, we shout out to everybody, you know, been, you know, rocking with us. We on Spotify, iTunes, we pretty much everywhere you can find podcasts, Bro Managed Podcast is there. So we're gonna holler at y'all next week, and we'll have a good week, y'all.
Peace out.